Well, I want to welcome you if you're watching online or at one of our churches in the West Auditorium. So glad you're here. And we just really wanted to, it's been kind of an intense series, so we thought we'd take a breath and just talk about pornography today. Let's, you know, really make it a little easier. And so, regardless of where you're watching, whether it's on the patio, the West Auditorium, online, or one of our other churches, let's just be honest, by a show of hands, how many of you this week, nah, let's not do a show of hands. Let's not do that. I think it's important that we, you know, be real and be honest and, you know, just kind of be authentic about where we're really at. And I just want to let you know that as I get ready to give this talk, that I want to just admit that there this issue of porn is very real in Pastor James's life, and you should know about that. That's all. I just felt. that wasn't in the notes. That just came out in this service. Just want you to know that. Thought it. Who knows what could happen next? It just my wife is scared. Okay. So what if you're not struggling with this? You know, why should you care? And I want you to know that by the time we're done, I think that that will be answered, that there are some profound cultural implications to the impact of pornography in our culture. I also think that you're going to see that this is directs you effectively because it directs people that you care about directly. And that'll probably be enough. The original design for sexual expression was and is shame-free. That's how God designed it. He gives us the gift of sexuality. And experienced as God intends, shame has no part in God's design. None whatsoever. But then it gets twisted and turned into something other than what God intended. And what comes along with it, one of the implications is shame. A couple of verses to look at to begin with. You can write this one down, Genesis 2, 24 and 25. That is why a man leaves his father and mother and is united to his wife and they become one flesh. Adam and his wife were both naked and they felt no shame. And, you know, I think one of the reasons is because they had no mirrors, but that's just a theory on my part. You know, when you struggle with this issue of porn and you wished you didn't, I want to assure you that you're not alone. This is a common issue. This is a common battle that we face. Here's some verses from a larger text on that issue, and I think we can all relate to these. These are taken from Romans chapter 7, verse 15. I don't really understand myself, for I want to do what is right, but I don't do it. Instead, I do what I hate. Verse 21, I have discovered this principle of life, that when I want to do what is right, I inevitably do what is wrong. Can you relate? Verse 24 and 25, oh, what a miserable person I am. Who will free me from this life that is dominated by sin and death? Thank God, the answer is in Jesus Christ our Lord. And that is the answer. And I want to make sure that you understand where we're going with this talk is going to be to a place of great hope and peace and forgiveness and, frankly, I think optimism about the future for each of us. 1 Corinthians 10. The temptations in your life are no different from what others experience. So it's common. We're all going through it. And God is faithful. He will not allow the temptation to be more than you can stand. When you are tempted, he will show you a way out so that you can endure. Underline a way out. There's a way out. So what should our response be to someone who is struggling with pornography? And I believe that our response should be compassion. And I think as you look with me today at some of what's behind this, I think you'll agree. And I especially am concerned, you know, for our kids, for our junior hires, our senior hires, college students. You are under assault. And so if you're feeling like I'm a miserable person because of this porn thing that I'm involved in, I just want you to know, I'm so sorry for what you're facing, because you've been targeted, and there is a strategic attack happening, and I want to shine a light on it so that you'll understand it and you can better deal with what you're facing. And we have compassion for you. And over time and repeated exposure, we understand why that it's going to take more and harder porn to get that rush. I received an email this week, and someone who knew what this topic was going to be about, and I wanted to, you know, kind of make it anonymous, so I, you know, protect the innocent in this thing. So I changed the name from this to Carl. And so that's not the name of the person that sent this. And then I thought, what if your name's Carl? That kind of sucks today, doesn't it? Yeah. Anyway, here's what Carl had to say. I struggled with pornography for years before becoming a Christian and before I was married. I assumed that after I got married, I wouldn't want to use porn. But not long after getting married, I struggled with being physically attracted to my beautiful wife. She just didn't measure up to the photoshopped, make-believe women on screen. I was so unhappy and felt disconnected from God, my wife, and my church. It was like I was on the outside looking in. I just concluded that I won't ever be victorious, and I can only hope that God will forgive me. Folks, that is the bad news. The bad news that porn kills love. This next section I want to look at, I want to point you to a website that's on, I've listed it on the back of your program there in the resources. It's Fight the New Drug. And it's not a Christian website. It is a wonderful website, though, that is highlighting the dangers of pornography in our culture. And I think you might find it helpful as well. But let me share some things I learned from them in this section here. In your brain, there's something called the reward pathway. You have one. Your dog has one. Mammals are all given one of these reward pathways in your brain. And the reward pathway's job is to reward you when you do something that promotes life. Things like eating a healthy meal or completing a project or something that you've been working hard on. The reward pathway does this. It releases these chemicals in your brain, and they're awesome. They're just awesome. And things like serotonin and dopamine. I love that name. Yeah. Give me some dopamine, baby. And what it does is it makes you feel so good. You just, so you do this hard work and you get rewarded for it. Like, whoa, yeah, it feels good. And that's a wonderful thing. The problem is that the reward pathway can get hijacked. So you do something like you go, little cocaine. And guess what? Without doing any of the hard work that would release those chemicals, they're released. All you have to do is snort it up your nose, and it's released. And all of this serotonin, these dopamines are released in your brain, and just, oh, immediate reward. That feels so good. You know what else does that? Porn, which is why we respond with compassion. Why when that junior high kid sees that image pop up on the screen and he wants to click because, oh, that feels good. Oh, that is awesome. Wow, look at that. That surge of dopamine is causing way more than just feelings. You see, what that is beginning to do is create brand new neural pathways in your brain. They're being tracked through there in your brain the same way that cocaine triggers that reward pathway, porn does as well. Dopamine creates those pathways so that we know how to get back to that place, back to that behavior that caused those chemicals to be released in the first place. And it gets easier and easier then for a person to return to that, whether they want to or not. And over time, this constant overload causes the brain to make some changes as well. What the brain does, just trying to deal with, this is just too much, they begin to shut, the brain starts shutting down the receptor sites on that path. And those receptor sites are like little catcher's mitts. And the dopamine's floating by, poof, got that one, yeah, ooh, feels good. Well, there's just too much, so it starts to shut them down. Well, now the dopamine's still going, but the user's not feeling it as much. Huh, now what am I gonna, you know, do about that? Well, it's still there, so what do? Well, I find more porn, or I have to find it more often, or I have to find another version that's even further down the road, or all three. Huh, to generate that dopamine. And once the brain becomes accustomed to it, trying to cut back has the same effect of trying to step back from a cocaine addiction. Those withdrawal symptoms will be there. Now, porn started with cave dwellers scratching naked pictographs on the cave wall. Okay, so this is nothing new. But today's pornography is a whole different ballgame. Listen to this. Thanks to the internet, porn now mixes the most powerful natural dopamine release the body can produce with a cocktail of other elements. Endless novelty, shock, and surprise, all of which increased the dopamine surge. Internet porn offers this endless stream of variety. Users can flip from image to image and keep the dopamine flowing for hours. Describing porn's effect to a U.S. Senate committee, Dr. Jeffrey Satinover of Princeton said this: "It is as though we have devised a form of heroin usable in the privacy of one's own home and injected directly to the brain through the eyes." Wow. And so if you're thinking, well, you know, this isn't really hurting anything, it's no big deal. You know, it's like, I'm just, you know, trying it a little bit. I'm just using a little bit. Really? Well, then use a little meth too. Yeah, it's like, well, no, I'm not stupid. Well, no, I understand that. I understand why you're doing it too. It's not that you're stupid. It's that you've been sucked in. And it feels good. You see, here's a reality. Maybe you've heard this before. Sin always takes you further than you want to go, keeps you longer than you want to stay, and costs you more than you want to pay. I'm not sure where that came from, so I'm pretty sure I made it up. The more porn that's consumed, the harder it becomes to be aroused by a real person in a real relationship. Wow. And you know what they're finding now? That one of the long-term effects of porn addiction? Impotency. Isn't that ironic? That the more it's used, that there's not just physical impotency, but relational as well. We end up not being able to relate to real people. Wow, that's a heavy price. It's ironic because it's so typical of how the enemy draws us in and then condemns us. James 1. Each one is tempted when by his own evil desire he is dragged away and enticed. Then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. And the terms here are a hunter or a fisher's kinds of terms. Dragged away and enticed. It's like, you know, maybe you've seen me do this before, like the fish and the hook and the bait. It's like, oh, look at that. The fish is thinking, I want some of that. But I know there's a hook there. I'm just going to nibble. Around the edge. Oh, they're so. Oh. How did this happen? And I'm dragged away. You see. There's an old legend about how Eskimos would kill a wolf that was threatening a village, trying to get to their dogs or whatever. And what they would do is take a double-edged blade that was very razor sharp, and then dip it in blood, let it freeze, dip it, keep dipping this thing in blood and freeze, so it creates this blood popsicle on this double-edged, very razor-sharp blade. Then plant that solidly in the ground outside of the village, and then when that wolf comes by, smells that, starts licking that blood. And it, because it's frozen, starts to numb his tongue. Now he doesn't feel it as he gets down to that edge, and now he's licking. Ooh, now it's warm blood because it's his own blood. From the cuts, as he's licking that edge and frantically, now I'm beginning to try and chew on that, and he's chewing that very sharp edge. Some of you are just like, shut up. You're killing my mouth right now. And then what happens? The wolf bleeds to death. And you might be thinking, oh, that's just too dramatic. Really? After desire is conceived, it gives birth to sin. Sin, when it's full grown, gives birth to death. We need to take it seriously. See, Satan wants to steal, kill, and destroy. That's what he wants to do. And he wants to hook you. He is attacking us. He has a strategy and a scheme to draw us in. And then what does he want to do? He wants to lead us into our own destruction. How's it play out? Well, first you're exposed to some sexual impurity. You know, for me, I remember it was in fifth grade. At an overnighter at Travis's house. And we found his dad's stash of Playboy magazine. And we read every article. And I remember that. I remember that so clearly. You see, 90% of kids between the ages of 8 and 18 have watched online porn. 90%. That's our kids, folks. Let's not be naive. This is hugely important. By the way, little parenthetical break here. If you let your kids have internet access, if your children are under the age of 50, if you let them have unsupervised internet access, how do I say this gently? You are stupid. And I just wake the heck up. If your kids can get on their computer in a place where their screen isn't visible to everybody else in the room, wake up. Not so that you can catch them and chew them out, so that you can help them to not be attacked. You would protect them in any other environment. Protect them. Watch out for them. Don't be idle about this. And when they look at you and go, oh, that is so stupid, just say, yeah, I know. I'm an idiot. Oh, but my friends, I understand. I'm going to be talking to their parents too, and I suggest they do the same thing. We got to take this seriously. And it's not just a male problem. Depending on which stat you look at, somewhere between 30 and 40% of viewers of porn websites are women. But often they're looking at it for a different reason. They're trying to say, if I'm going to be loved, what do I need to do? And how do I need to look? And that's where they're going to find out, because that's what the boyfriend said. Every single one of us is exposed to it. And I remember as young boys, we took every opportunity we had to look at naked girl pictures. Oh, yeah. Oh, and the dopamine poured in to those receptor sites, and it felt so good. And the neural pathways were forming. And we knew how to get back to that place where it felt good again. You see, why you should care about this, even if it's not your struggle personally. One thing is, porn leads to violence against women and children. Period. It's the truth. And porn fuels prostitution, which fuels the sex trade. which fuels sexual slavery. And we become contributors with every click. And human trafficking is not an abstract to us. We partner with people in our community to stop it. We need to do something about this. Okay, take a breath. It's a little heavy now. Whew. Write this down. The good news. Porn's damage can be reversed. It can be reversed. An article in Fast Company, authors Judah Pollack, Olivia Cabane wrote this piece about how our brains not only build neural connections constantly, but they erase them as well. They're building these pathways, but they're also erasing others. And so the more that you run a neural circuit in your brain, the stronger that circuit becomes. That pathway gets stronger and stronger. The good news is that we have this ability that has been built in to erase them. It's there for everyone. It's called synaptic pruning. Here's how they explained it. Your brain's pruning gardeners are called microglial. I think that's right. Anyway, it's who says that's right? Microglial. Half of you going, I don't really care. Just finish reading the thing, would you? All right. Microglial cells. They prune your synaptic connections. The synaptic connections that get used less get marked by a protein, C1Q, as well as others. When the microglial cells detect that mark, they bond to the protein and destroy or prune the synapse. Like a game of Tetris. Get gone. Oh, that's fantastic. So how do we prune the porn neural pathways that we have allowed to map our brain? How do we get rid of them? We cooperate with the God-designed cleansing process that He has pre-installed. You take that pre-installed process and you combine that with your will and God's powerful Holy Spirit, and you're unstoppable. It's amazing. So, practically, what do we need to do? Write this down. Set up guardrails. We did a whole series on this a while back, and you can look into it. One of the things that we did was we defined guardrails. The first definition was this: a system to design to keep people and vehicles from straying into dangerous or off-limit areas. Well, that's practical. And then we took it a step further in that series and defined it this way. A guardrail is a personal standard of behavior that becomes a matter of conscience. And what if we put guardrails in place that sort of lit up our conscience? You know how if you've ever driven along and hit the bumps on the side of the road before you get to the guardrail, that bump, 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 and you know, whoa, a little too far over there. We need to put those in our brain. We need to come up with some guardrails that keep us from that danger. Bum, 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 bum. And the ultimate guardrail is to learn to listen and respond to the Holy Spirit, who wants to lead us into all truth, who wants to guide us and protect us into wholeness. That's His desire for us. Proverbs 27:12. It describes a person listening to the Holy Spirit. A prudent person foresees danger and takes precautions. The simpleton goes blindly on and suffers the consequences. One of the things that can be sort of a way to jumpstart a choice or a decision to set up some guardrails, to make some changes, is an accountable fast. Now, I'm not talking about fasting from food. I'm talking about fasting from the behavior that you want to rid yourself of. And so you say, all right, for 1 week, I'm not looking at any porn. One week, I'm fasting for a week. And then you have someone that you trust that will encourage you to do this. And you say, I need to be able to call you. I need you to ask you to call me, text me, whatever, you know, every day. Here's what I've decided. And let them walk with you in it. It is a powerful way to sort of jumpstart that choice and that decision. Very liberating. Write this down. Job 31:1 says, I made a covenant with my eyes not to look lustfully at a girl. And some of you might be thinking, why would I do that? Well, it's a guardrail. And so you direct your eyes. You decide where they're going to look. It doesn't say don't look at a girl. Don't look lustfully at a girl. And that is a powerful guardrail. Here's another, 2 Corinthians 10:5. We take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. So another guardrail is capture my thoughts. Don't just let them run down those pathways that they're used to. Don't just let them go their own way. I want to neglect that pathway so that that protein CQ1 will land on there and zap it. But I have to let it go without use so that it'll get marked, so that it'll get zapped. God's will for us is to be whole. He's not trying to keep us from something good because, you know, he doesn't want you to enjoy yourself. He doesn't want you to be injured. He wants you to be whole. 1 Thessalonians 4. God's will is for you to be holy. So stay away from all sexual sin. Then each of you will control his own body and live in holiness and honor, not in lustful passion like the pagans who do not know God and his ways. He wants us to live above, beyond all we could ask or imagine, and then he'll empower us to do it. Write this down. Be honest and get help. Be honest and get help. Porn cannot be negotiated with or reasoned with. And if you make a deal with porn, I want you to know you'll be double-crossed. You will be betrayed. 1 John 1, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. So be honest with yourself. I got a problem. Be honest with God. I agree with what you call good and what you don't. I'm in agreement with you, and I'm being honest now with you. And then be honest with at least one other person who can help. Not just one other random person, but one other person who can actually help you, who can do good. Maybe a counselor or someone that is in your small group, that your growth group that you know is following Jesus and is, you know, ahead of you in the process. You know, these are some good, safe places to begin. Generally, we recommend pink on pink, blue on blue. Guys, if you have a problem with porn, don't go find the hottest chick you know and confess it, all right? So that's not wise. You know, if you're married, at some point, in order to bring wholeness to your marriage, you're going to need to be honest with your wife. But don't just jump toward that step. You need to know how to go about that, bringing her into the loop in a way that's best for her and not just so you can unload. You need to do it, but you need to do it carefully. And one of the ways that can happen is by getting some advice, getting some help. James 5, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be shamed. Aren't you glad it doesn't say that? So that you may be healed. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. Man, looks like some hard steps. You see, there's what God wants to do to set us free, to reverse the damage. But there's my part. There's the cooperation that still is in play. Matter of fact, you'll see that in Chris's story. Watch this.
I would try to put on that face like everything was normal. Everything's hunky-dory. Everything's fine. But it wasn't. A day would look like wake up, sit at the computer for some porn, breakfast, go to work. Sometimes there would be texts and emails with porn. Get home from work, porn. I was first introduced to pornography at the age of about 6 or 7. It just continued and continued, and then when the internet started, that became very, very easy access to whatever it is I wanted to find. I walked away from the church entirely. I just basically threw two fingers up, said I'm out. And that's truly when my addiction started to get bad. In my own mind, I labeled myself as weak. Labeled myself as not worthwhile. Self-centered. Stuck. Just not truly living as a man. I never thought I could be free. By this point in time, I had already been married for 14 years. I had a little girl who was probably 9. And I had another one who was 7 and a half. My wife and I we had not been going to church for coming up on 10 years. Some friends of ours, you know, just said, "Hey, we're gonna go check out East Lake Church. What do you think?" All right, that's close, so, you know, we'll go check it out. And we went on an Easter Sunday. So through this time, it sounds funny, I know it sounds weird, but the only way I can describe it is God grabbed me by the throat and said, "Wake up." That right there was when I literally just said, "Okay, God, I can't do this on my own. I've tried." Through the messages and whatnot, the sermons, God was like, "Man, you need to tell your wife." I'm like, "No, I don't. She don't need to know nothing, because that's just gonna break her heart." I had to tell her about my pornography addiction.
When it came time to kind of open up about my past, I was just afraid that people were gonna have me, afraid to have me around them. I felt like I very possibly could be an outcast, but that's not at all what I actually found.
I've learned that trust is very easily lost and very slowly gained. 100%, had God not been in it, I would not be a married man today.
The difference between then and now, I know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, I know that just like the sun's gonna come up tomorrow, that God never gives up on me. As supported, surrounded by just a phenomenal group of people, just all in all in a really good place.
if we're really honest, statistically, more of us who are in this room or watching from a different place today, more of us are struggling with this than aren't. So let's not, you know, get too proud. That's the reality. If you want to be honest and get help, you got to do that to get free. And I want to give you a great first step. It's a website called covenanteyes.com. And you can write that down. I encourage you. As a matter of fact, everyone write it down so no one needs to know who needs to write it down. Just everybody grab a pen, write that down. And what it is it's internet accountability and filtering. So you put this on your computers, your phone, your iPad, anything where you have internet access, and you have this accountability software so that whenever you click on a porn site, something that's questionable, it sends an email to a list of people that you have put on there. Yeah. My son-in-law, Jason, one of the people on his list is my wife, his mother-in-law. Dude is serious about not going there, all right? Because he don't want his mother-in-law going, "Excuse me, tell me about this site." Yeah. Not that she sounds like that. You know, I also think that a great step in this process of healing is this next one. Write this down. Leverage your victory. See, you're blessed to be a blessing, healed to be a healer, but the reality is you're a wounded healer. And we often say around here, it's not about perfection, it's about progress. And so leverage what God is doing. Look at 2 Corinthians 1. It says, "He comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort others. When they are troubled, we will be able to give them the same comfort God has given us." And that is exactly what Chris and Sissy did by their courageous testimony that we just saw. Here's the great news. The grace of God is stronger than the power of porn. The grace of God kicks porn's butt if we're willing to cooperate with the power of God's great grace. Let me read the last part of Carl's email. "I am now discovering that freedom from porn isn't limited to my willpower. As I'm learning to surrender my mind and heart to Jesus and pursue real accountability, the grip of porn is loosening. I know that porn is not consistent with who I am in Christ. I am a saint who sometimes stumbles, not a sinner who sometimes gets it right." Accessing God's grace and power is a choice that we make. Make up your mind to get healed. Let's read Romans 12:2 together out loud. Outside voices, wherever you are, patio, west, east, whatever church you're watching from. Ready? Go. "Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." Underline that last phrase, by the renewing of your mind. That's how we are transformed. By the renewing of your mind, the healing of your mind, the changing of your mind, the rewiring of your mind. We're not limited to our own willpower. We have been given a way out. First of all, just this miraculous, you know, path-zapping eraser that God has built in. You combine that with the power of the Holy Spirit in your life as you cooperate, and you'll be amazed at how God can reverse and heal. We're changed as we cooperate. In Psalms, it says that the Holy Spirit surrounds us with songs of deliverance. And we're going to sing a song, a worship song that many of you already know. But it's a reminder to us today that we are partnering with God, Almighty God, in this healing that we're involved in. And if you are open to it, this could be a song for you that is a song of faith. And what is a song? It's just a prayer put to music. So let this be your prayer. Let this song surround you with powerful deliverance. Or you could take that and let it be a prayer for someone else that you care about. And you could have them in mind as you sing this prayer. Them in mind as you surround yourself and those you love with a song of deliverance. Would you stand with me? Jesus, as we sing, we affirm your desire and power to liberate and love us. Help us to cooperate with you in our healing. We surround ourselves and those we love with this song of deliverance. Amen.
Strength and power, yours alone now and forever. Love this world could never stop. There is no one like our God, reaching down to touch the broken. Mercy breaking through this moment. Faithful is the one who saves, worthy is your name. Oh God, the glory is yours, the kingdom is come and the battle is over. Jesus, in your name we rise, and the glory is yours, the glory is yours. Angels watch in wonder on that day when time is over. Every heart has love proclaimed, worthy is your name. Oh God, the glory is yours, the kingdom is come and the battle is over. Jesus, in your name we rise, and the glory is yours, the glory is your name we rise, and the glory.